Real quick, on behalf of the Edwards family and aunts and uncles and everybody else, you know, we lost Bradley George this last Saturday, and his funeral was Tuesday. And when those things happen, you don't know what to say to family. You know, I don't, you don't, we don't. But you prayed. Some of y'all, a lot of y'all prayed for him. A lot of y'all gave some food, gave some money, gave some time, did some things. And all that does speak. And Ron asked me if I would just say thank you to everybody who, for their concern and for their love and for their gift. So thank you on behalf of that family. Now we're going to have our church service. Are y'all ready for that? Okay. This isn't a, you don't come here to sleep, right? If you do have to sleep, I'd rather you sleep here Sunday morning than anywhere else Sunday morning. You got what I'm saying? So we're just glad that you're here. But we're going to have a time where we worship the Lord. Put your mind on Him. Doesn't have to be anywhere else. The world's not going to stop if you're not worried about it. It'll keep going, I promise. So stop. Put your mind on the Lord. And let's give Him the praise that's worthy of Him. Amen? All right. We pray for us and we'll start. Lord God, thank You for loving us. Help me, Lord, to stand in the right place with this microphone. And Father, we give You all the praise. We love You. Help us, even though we come in here some heavy-hearted, some scared, some distracted, some may not even be here by their own free will and volition. They've been dragged here by somebody else. Who knows? So, Father, would You just, whoever we are in this place, touch us. Show us that You're awesome. Help us to be mindful of You and to put ourselves in check. Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing but the love.
today, so I'm just going to say it from back here. That was a good song, wasn't it?
I've heard a thousand stories of love.
They got me on that one. I thought it was over, and I started coming up, and it wasn't over, and it's still going on. It's okay to get got in church like that when we're singing, and it hits us. It's all right. Go ahead and let God get you every once in a while. It's okay. For Nani's class, that's 4 to K. Ready, break. Not everybody that knows Nani. Nani is famous. We sang the song, Open the Eyes My Heart, Lord, and that's an old one. I remember from a long time ago, and got to learn that in Spanish too. It goes, Abre mi ojos, oh Señor, something like that. Abre mi ojo, Señor. Yo quiero verde. It's like that. It's something like that. Now, if there's Spanish speakers, you'd be like, no, it ain't nothing like that. But that's how I remember it. That's how I remember it. That's how my brain works with it. And we sang that on a mission trip to Mexico, and it was good. But having our eyes open to who Jesus Christ is, having our eyes open to who He really is, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. That's kind of like our message. That'd be a good subtext for our message. We're going to be in Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, we're continuing our series. We're gonna try to continue our series. There we go. Just getting started. Y'all, if you can't have technical difficulties, your halo's on too tight. If you've been wondering where the migraine headaches came from, that's probably it. Just go ahead and untie that thing a little bit and let it loose. You'll be all right. You'll make it. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus is talking about the second coming. He's talking about His return. When I preach about the return of Christ, it makes me excited about who Jesus is. It also makes me cautious, and it kind of humbles me because I know this is one of those topics that everybody has their favorite part of. It's kind of like denominationalism in the Bible. You know, it's kind of like everybody has something they want to talk about. Either they want to talk about Israel, or they want to talk about the rapture, or they want to talk about millenniums, and they want to talk about this and that. I'm just going to talk about Jesus. And I'm going to ask God to open the eyes of our heart that we might see Him and not miss out on what He's really talking about. Okay? I'm going to read the whole chapter, though. So everything that you're really into, if you're really into prophecy and different things, it's all going to be in the Word. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. So listen with me as I read Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Then as He went out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name, saying, 'I am He,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for My sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for My name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where he ought not," let the reader understand this, "then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened these days, those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake whom He chose, He shortened the days.
that if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds and with great glory and power. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each his work, and he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Father God, thank you for loving us. And as we look at this, as we consider this discourse, your teaching, help us, Father, to receive it. Help us, Lord, to absorb it, not to be worried, not to be frightened. Help us from being deceived. But Lord, help us to go forward ever confidently that you are a good, good Father, and that we are loved by you, and in that we can be confident. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. When you study this, when I study this, sometimes I just get some impressions. It's hard to explain, just things that the Spirit of God impresses on me to share. And I'm just going to share some of those things just right off the bat. One of the things has to do with Jesus' second coming. All of it's going to have to do. But let me tell you, when Jesus came the first time and when he was on trial, everybody tried to distance themselves from him. Do you remember that? Even Peter. Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. When he interrupts life as usual and returns, everybody's going to hope they know him that day. It's a big difference. See, he came and he was submitted to the governing authorities of his time back in the first century, which was Rome, and he was subject to those who led Israel, which was the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes. But when he returns, he'll be subject to no earthly authority. He's going to come back. He's not going to be under anyone's watch care. He's not going to be coming in quietly. He's not going to be coming in such a way that we could say, oh, I'm going to switch the channel and watch something else because I'm not interested in this. He's going to turn the sky into a television and you can't avoid it if you tried. He's coming back. It's coming back. It's big. And everybody's going to want to know him. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, in that day, speaking about the last day, people are going to come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that and don't we have some of these and didn't we go here and didn't we do that? And what's he going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you. We've never had a relationship. You're phony. You're religious. You're phony. But people are going to want to flock to him. At that point, oh, I've always been on your side. I've always believed. And he's going to say, Look, when I think about these end times, when I think about Jesus coming back, to me it says this. Make sure that you know him. Make sure that you're his. There's going to be a time when everybody wants to know him. there's going to be a time when we all respond in a similar way. Everybody that has knees is going to bow their knee before him. Everybody that has a tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God before him. And you know what else? Everybody that has glasses. No, everybody that has eyes. If my glasses aren't on, I'm sure I can see them. But it says, every eye will see him. That's Revelation 1:7. Even they who pierced him. Even those who hated him. Even those who seek to destroy him. Even those who don't believe in him. It's not like Santa Claus saying he's going to come. And when he comes, there's going to be a reckoning. And one of the impressions I got as I was getting this ready was to say, we need to know him and be sure that we know him. Now, we can be sure not of the timing of his arrival. We can just be sure that he's coming back. But with that, we can be certainly sure of something else. Either he's coming back and we'll meet him there, or we're going to him and we'll meet him there. One way or another, we'll all come face to face with the Lord of glory, the maker of heaven and earth, the one whose word is more powerful than anything you can see, touch, or imagine right now. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. What a descriptive picture of the end times. So when he says heaven, he's not talking about heaven, the place where the throne of God rests. He's talking about the sky in which the birds fly and the jets fly and the clouds float. Earth and heaven, those things that we count on for our daily existence, are temporary, but the Word of God is forever. He makes that point when he gets in there. The very first deal, the disciples ask him, do you see these buildings? Do you see how pretty they are? Do you see how wonderful it is? Do you see how great these stones are? How majestic? If you want to get a picture of how much they were gushing, go over into the Gospel of Luke. You don't do it now, but when you get a chance, it's right around chapter 21. But they're like, the magnificent stones and the beautiful architecture and all this. These were fishermen. I don't know why they got so big into buildings. You know, but they were impressed. They wanted Jesus to be impressed. And Jesus looked at the temple. He says, you see it? I said, yeah. It's going to be gone. 40 years from Jesus saying that, it was gone. Raised to the ground, burnt. Every stone toppled. This all came true according to that temple. Boom, right then, within that next generation, it just happened. It's gone. You can go there today. I've been there. I've been on the Temple Mount. And on there is a mosque called the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. And that's what's where the temple was before, you know, the Romans fulfilled this prophecy that Jesus spoke. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever building, whatever earthly thing, whatever material thing you think makes you safe can be toppled. Every stone on top of each other and ripped apart. There is nothing secure in this heaven or this earth, but the Word of God is secure. You can build your life as secure financially, relationally. You can have land and jobs and buildings and think you got it all. I'm looking at my son. He just wants a four-wheeler. He'd think he'd have it all. He'd be like, I got it all. I got me a four-wheeler. I can go off in there. He talks like that. He's got an accent. Four-wheeler? He doesn't. I'm just making fun of him. But whatever you and I think we got that makes us safe and makes us right, if it's not based on the Word of God, you can lose it. It can be gone. That's exactly what he's teaching here. Don't go feeling safe and cushy and warm based on earthly things, because you're going to get upset. You're going to get toppled. You're not a fool to invest in eternal things that will never change and never fade. People might say, well, you invest in that church, you invest in the gospel, you invest your time, you invest your money, you invest yourself. Oh, that's so foolish. You know what you can do with that money? I'm telling what you can do with that money and that time won't last like it lasts when you invest yourself, especially in the kingdom of God and in the Word of God. This world, when Jesus said, I'm coming back, He's not coming back to play nice. He's not coming back except for to take over, to rule, and this creation that we, as we know it, will come to an end when he comes. I know that kind of hurts our feelings sometimes about Jesus. Jesus, that happy hippie, you know, probably, you know, marijuana's legal in heaven, so he's up there, you know, hitting the bong. I'm sorry I'm being so ugly, but that's how sometimes we think about him. He's just adopting stray dogs everywhere, and he's doing all this stuff wearing tie-dye, and that's not who Jesus is. I'm not against tie-dyes or stray dogs or any of those things. I'm not, you know, I don't hit the bong myself, but my point is this. He's coming to take over. That's what he's coming to do. And it's not because he's angry, it's because he's God. And God is going to rule and reign, and he's going to do it his way. We have this option. And this is the only good option. It's accepting him and surrendering ourselves to him, okay? Because he's coming. Here's the other impression I got as I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how we often, when we talk about end times, last times, return of Christ stuff, we get focused on so many other things besides the fact that Christ is returning. And I shared this with my Sunday school, but I want you to think about this scenario. Imagine a mama. She's got one child, one boy, and he grows up, but he gets called out to war. A couple generations ago, this would have been easy to think about. Gets drafted. And he's gone. He's in a foreign land fighting. His life's in danger. And she just thinks about him. She prays about him. But her life has to go on. You know, she's got to get up every morning. You know, she takes a shower. She gets dressed. She goes to her company. She does her work. She does what she has to do. She goes to the grocery store. She comes back day in, day out. She leaves. She's got a full schedule. She goes on with life. But do you think for a moment she lives that life without hoping to see her son come back, without praying and about looking forward like, I want to see my son? Now, she might not talk about it every single moment of the day, but you know, it's on her mind. It's in her heart. She's looking. Now, I want you to imagine, she's at her job. Busy day. Lawyers are coming at 3. They've got a merger. You know, all this stuff's going on. I don't know what she does. She's you know, she's a big mover and shaker somewhere, you know. She's got all this stuff. She's got a mani-pedi, you know, appointment after work and stuff like that. She's got a bowling league. She's just busy, right? Like we all get. But she gets this phone call. And as soon as she hears the voice, she knows who it is. It's her boy. And he says, Mama, I'm at the airport. Can you come get me? What do you think that mama's going to say? Well, baby, you know, I just got a really busy day. You know, I'm glad that you're back, but it'd be better for me. Can I just come maybe tomorrow and get you? You know, can you just hang out there and I'll see you tomorrow? Is that mama going to say that? What's that mama going to say? What? First she screams. Oh! Any mama worth her salt going to scream right there. She don't even, she ain't got to say nothing. When she runs out, everybody knows. She ain't asking for permission. She's just going to get that boy. Y'all, listen. If right, we understood the return of Christ, we'd live like that. It always amuses me. I say amuses. That's probably not the word. Bothers me. Bothers me when my heart and my mind does this. It bothers me when I talk to Christians who want to put off the return of Christ because they got such a busy calendar. Well, you know, I studied the return of Christ, so I'll know the signs, and it's not coming yet, and I don't want, well, you know, if you just wait. Stop. Yield your agenda, the agenda of your life. Yield it to Jesus Christ. When I think about the end time, I think about living in a world that at any time, the God who loved me and died on the cross for me is coming to get me, and he's welcome. He's welcome any day, any hour. To interrupt the sermon, to interrupt whatever plans I got to see people get married, even if they're my own people, to see graduations, to see retirements, to see golden years, to see spending money, to see whatever it is that we might think is so great that we would think, oh, would you just hold on? Would you just hold on? Would you just hold on? You know, sometimes when we get to this end time stuff, we forget to love God in it. and we forget how much He's worth, and we forget that how much He loves us, somehow we think we're going to lose by Christ coming to gather us to heaven. Y'all, that's gain. That's not loss. Especially when you consider whatever temporal thing you hope to spend or live or do, you have no guarantees that you'll spend or live or do any of those things. They're all temporal. Y'all get what I'm saying? Man, we ought to be excited. Don't ever let go. No matter all the details, how interested you may be in them, the greatest one, and I got it written on your handout, is they will see the Son of Man coming with clouds and great power and glory. He's coming back. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe He's a truth teller? Well, He said He was coming back. Can there be anything better? This is His place. I'm His. This is His church. My kids I have because of Him. Everything I have because of Him. We all want to be self-made folks. That's fine, except for you got to realize you didn't do nothing yourself. And I'm not a socialist, and I'm not a liberal, I'm not all that stuff. I ain't talking smack up here political stuff. I'm talking about there is a God. He made you. He gives you the right to breathe, to live, to move, to have your being in His world. And we get the opportunity to be a part of His family. You know, one day I'll have an inheritance. I love thinking about this. Where's my dad? You know, my mom, I think about them. You know, if they pulled their money together, you know, I could pay off my car or something like that. You know, they're not a big inheritance. You know, I'm not going to get the family estate. I grew up in a 700 square foot cinder block house just outside of Detroit, Michigan, that has my name on it someday. Woo! I'd rather keep my mom forever and never have that house. You understand what I'm saying? But I got something with the God. I've got something with the Lord. I've got something with Him that will never be taken away from me, and that's better than anything I could duplicate here on earth. You understand what I'm saying? My impression when I think about the end times, we ought to be excited. We ought to be ready. Not so many people get fearful. And let's look at it. There's two main warnings, okay? We're going to look at two main warnings and then two don'ts and two do's, okay? Here's the first don't. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. As soon as religion was created, people started using it to deceive people, okay? This deception seems so strange, but Matthew talks about it. Mark talks about it. Luke talks about it. About a deception of people saying that they are the Christ, or somebody else is the Christ, or somebody else is somebody worth worshiping, that somebody else is a Savior, that some other way is a saving way. And they come and say that. Look, it says, many will come in My name, Jesus said, saying that they're the one. Maybe a preacher who wants all your stuff, or maybe it's somebody who just gets in their mind that they're the Savior of the world, or some kind of crazy stuff. Jesus says here, don't you ever be deceived. Don't be deceived. They'll come. They'll say really fancy things. They'll even show signs. It says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive. There ain't but one Jesus. He done wrote a book. Ain't got to worry about that. Well, I read this book that said, it's all right, honey, go ahead, you can read it. But there ain't but one book that tells the truth about it, okay? Let's not get far away from the book He gave us that talks about who He is. Let's not venture out from the Bible and start saying, well, this one said and this one said, that's good, you read it. You go ahead. I'm all for academics. I'm all for intellectualism. I'm all for look at all the philosophy you want to. But you remember, it's this book that told us the truth about Jesus Christ. Before He came in prophecy, as He was here, and what's going to happen. Don't you go far away. Don't you be deceived. I don't care how smiley they look. Don't you? There's nobody. Nobody. No religious leader. No religious icon or figure. Who is Jesus Christ. He alone is the Son of God. He alone is the Savior of the world. And He is coming back. That's it. Him alone. Don't be deceived. There is an art, there is a loyalty, there is a work, and not a saving work, it's not what I'm talking about, but a work to say, I stick with Jesus alone. amidst all this other stuff, amidst all these other what so-called ways, but I stick to Jesus Christ. Now, there may be many ways to Christ. You may have come to Christ young. You may have come to Christ after a divorce. You may have come to Christ through a crisis of health or finances. You may have come to Christ at a concert or in somebody's house or in a church house. But there ain't but one way to God. That's through Christ. You get what I'm saying? Don't let nobody try to... There's going to be people, there's going to be pressure that says, oh, we're all the same, we ought to accept that. Don't you back away from the name of Jesus Christ. You stick with him. He stuck with us to the cross and beyond. Stick with him. Don't be deceived. The other don't is don't be despairing. Don't give up. Don't give up. When it gets hard, when it gets real ugly hard, don't give up. He was talking to a group of people who experienced that far more than we've ever experienced it. I'm not saying that people haven't been through hard times here. I don't know everybody's story. You know what I'm saying? But as a people, we have not suffered for Christ's name like the people he was talking to, who they were going to be kicked out of their homes, beaten in synagogues, beheaded on Roman roads, crucified and tarred and lit on fire to light up the streets to entertain a crazy Roman emperor. They faced some things. You catch my drift? They faced starvation and rejection, these Jews that he was speaking to right then and there. But if you and then there's been other places. Right now in our world, there are people who are facing religious persecution for the name of Christ that we don't know of here. China, last 2 years ago, kicked up a whole new kind of phase of putting pressure on Christians and what they do overtly. In Syria, we look at it just as this town has been struck and this town has been struck and this town has been struck. But if you look at those towns, you'll find that those towns had the greatest Christian influence in them, an amount of Christians in Syria, and that too was being attacked and cleansed out. It's happening. A friend of mine I went to seminary with is from Indonesia. And to graduate from the seminary there, they had to plant a church in a Muslim neighborhood. And he was telling me about how many of the churches his dad planted got burned down. These things are happening, but if it happens to us, don't despair. Don't allow the circumstances, no matter how rough they get, to convince you that God don't love you. As a pastor, I'm not supposed to hit people. But nothing makes me want to hit people. That's not true. There's some other things that make me want to hit people more. I had to watch out. There are some things that merely make me want to hit people more. But when somebody says, how do I know God loves me because this is going on in my life? I understand that's a natural thing. And if that's you, you might say, oh, he's talking bad about me. But listen, the cross tells you that he loves you. And the resurrection tells you that he wants you to be with him. His return tells you that his future for you is bright. Stop looking at your circumstances, which change from morning to lunch to evening, trying to base God's love on how you feel that he feels. Man, I want to karate chop something. You know, just don't do that. Don't take the love of God that is so substantial and tie it to the circumstances of your life and go, he loves me, he loves me not. And he loves me, and he loves me not. Oh, grow up. Right? He loves you. How do we know? It's not in what your circumstances are. Did you read? Listen to the circumstances. They will arrest you. They will deliver you up. They will have you beaten. They will have you killed. When's the last time anybody in here got killed? Yeah. Ain't happened to none of us yet, has it? Here's my point. What they were going through was pretty stinking rough. When's the last time you were beaten? I'm looking at my son. You ain't never been beaten in your whole life. What if it got that bad? I know you're thinking about your circumstances. Something happened and you didn't have cable for a minute. Does God even love me? I was going through Grenada and I got caught by three red lights. Three! There ain't but seven in the whole town. I got caught by three of them. Is the love of God even there for me? Now, I know there's more serious things. You can lose a job, lose relationships, lose children. I mean, there's some rough stuff. Don't get me wrong, but y'all listen. God loves you. He proved it. If he didn't prove anything else in this world, he proved that. He proved that in what he paid for you and me to be forgiven. Amen? I had to give an amen right there. It embarrasses my oldest son. Don't despair. Don't despair. Don't give up. It says, he who endures to the end. It's not talking about, listen, it's talking about persevering. It's talking about enduring. It's talking about hanging in there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never figured out how much God does love you, you need to before those times hit. Do that before the times get rough. Figure out how much he loves you so you have something to hang on to. Those are the two don'ts. Don't be deceived. And don't despair. Here's the two do's. Do. Seek hard after God. Do seek hard after God. He says, as he gets down to the end of the chapter, verse 33, it says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know the time. And this is such it's a powerful statement. It don't come out in our language really well, but he's using the repetition. He's saying, look. And then he's saying, look. And he's saying, don't fall asleep. But lay yourself out before God. That's that idea of prayer. Lay yourself out before God. Like, do that now, he's saying. We might say, why? Because you don't know when he's going to come. If you're going to love God, right now's the chance you have to love him. I'll love God tomorrow. I'll get serious about my prayer life later. I got till next week. When I grow up, when I'm old, when I'm retired, when I don't, you know, when I'm not wanting to go out and party all the time. Whatever you think it is, your time to love God's now. Do seek hard after God. We want to pray as like the last option. I'm going to pray because everything got rough. Well, why don't you pray and get to know God? You might not know how to say anything in prayer. I mean, that's for real. I talk to people and they say, I don't know how to pray. Well, where do you think you're going to learn? Just get out before him. You don't have to say anything. Just get before him. Put your mind on him. Quiet your mind. Stop thinking about so many hundreds of other things. And just focus on God. What if you didn't say a word? We'd be fortunate to know that God knows what you think. God knows how you feel. And if you came to God wanting to pray, even though you didn't know how to pray, don't you think he's going to receive you? There's two men who came to the Lord to pray. One really knew how to pray good. Lord, he said, aren't you so excited that I'm on your team because I pray and I tithe and I attend synagogue and I'm so much better than these other people? And then there was another man who didn't know how to pray. And he was down on his knees and he just looked down and he said, Lord, have mercy on a sinner like me. And Jesus said, that's the one that the Father heard. It wasn't this religious fancy talk. It was just a heart conversation between God. You can do that. He knows how to interpret our prayers. Do seek hard after God. Do serve God wholeheartedly. That's the second do. Do serve God wholeheartedly. Jesus tells this story about a man who goes off and he leaves his servants in charge. This is a beautiful picture of the church. Some commentators think, well, he's not talking about the church here, but they're just wrong. This is a beautiful picture. One house, many responsibilities. Sounds very similar to one body, but many parts. One body, individual parts. One house, many responsibilities. And can I tell you something? No matter what you're here for, who you are, what part you play, you got a part to play in the house of God. Let me tell you what it all goes towards. Just jumping back really quick to verse 10. It says this, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all called to be preachers. And even if some of us called to be preachers, you know, need our sharpening and our help. But we are all responsible to see that the gospel is preached to to all the people. That word nations is better really translated ethnics, ethnicities, to all the different races. Not just to nations where you cross a national border like from America into Mexico. That's not it's saying to every person, to everybody. And I don't care if you're the person in here, you say, I can't preach, I don't preach, but you come in here, you're faithful in what you do, and you help us to have a platform where the gospel can be preached. You help give through your church to God as He helps get the gospel out into all the world. You might not think you do anything really big, but some of you are coming and you make it possible for other people to hear. All of us don't have the same responsibility in the household, but we're all in the same house together. And the theme of that house is Jesus Christ saves sinners, and we need to get that word out. So whether you're cleaning the floor so when we come in, it's nice, or whether you're playing in the band and you're singing, or you're driving a bus, or you're giving, or you're greeting, or you're doing whatever it is you do, do it for the kingdom of God. And in that, we all work together. In that, we're all a part of the same team. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's all under one theme, that the gospel needs to go out to all the world. When I think about the return of Christ, it makes that all the more urgent, that the gospel needs to go out to all the world. When I think about personal tragedies that happen in the lives of family, it makes me remember that gospel needs to go out to all the world. When I think about the temporariness of this place, it makes me want to be someone who is deeply invested with my time and money and talent and gifts in the gospel going out into all the world. Does that make sense? He is coming. He's coming. When He says, watch, He says, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. He's not talking about us finding a place out somewhere, like on Little Mountain out towards Kilmichael and finding a high place and looking east. He's not talking about some mystical practice. I don't believe. I believe He's talking about having a heart to want to see Him, just like that mama who is expecting her son. I believe He was talking about understanding that what He has is eternal and therefore more significant than what we can accomplish in this planet. I think He was talking about watch and don't be deceived. Watch, don't despair. Watch and love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And watch about how to be involved in getting the gospel out to all the nations. That's what He's talking about. That's what He's talking about. He's coming and He tells His disciples and He tells us how to live between now and then. We want to do that. I hope you do. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And Lord, I'm just reminded right now that if there's anyone here who doesn't know You, who's never surrendered their life to You, this is not, it's not about scaring people, but if somebody's scared to where they want to accept Christ, I understand that too. But Lord, You do Your work. We're not trying to scare or talk anybody into anything. It's a matter of You showing us who Jesus is and us answering the gracious invitation that You've given us. You said to all of us, come, come on to Me. Come on to Me. If there's somebody here who's weary and heavy laden because they've been toting their sin, and they're toting their fears, and they're toting their worries and regrets, Father, would You call them? Would You call them and invite them to come? If there's anyone here knowing You, knowing that You're going to return, but they've been a pew sitter, they've been a sideliner, not a participator, would You convict their heart and let them know that they can change? Father, even right where they sit, do a work in their heart right now. Lord, we love You, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is your time. If you need to make a respond to the message, respond to God in any way, if you'd like to, there's kneelers up here. But I believe in God, the God who sees in church and out of church. If He started something in you, I advise you, do business with Him because He won't let up. Okay? All right. This is your time. Thank you.
Just joined the church recently, I want to remind you that today we're going to introduce you to the church family. So you can run, but you can't hide, you know. And so we're going to do that here in a minute. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, a part of your plans, a part of those who can hasten the day, even and just in obedience, in love, and Father, whatever your timing is, we're okay. We're with you, and Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now we get a special honor and privilege. I'm going to ask the folks who are just in our last membership class that we had on April 23rd, if you'll come forward now. Yeah, come on. Come on forward. And you see, we have the microphone. They have no idea what's going to happen. We're going to discuss the most embarrassing episodes in their life. No, I'm just... look, I want y'all to be able to look, and there's a couple who couldn't be here, but get to come hug these folks. If y'all ain't huggers, do this. All right, do this. You can belly bump if you got some belly. I'm mad. I got belly issues, and but here's the point. Is we're blessed when somebody leads people to join with Christ Community Church, and we just want to thank God and give them a chance to introduce themselves and give you all a chance to hug them, okay, or shake them, whatever. Hug them or shake them, do one or the other. So I'm not going to ask any embarrassing questions. I'm just going to ask that you introduce yourself, okay?
My name is Larson Williams. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Annette Smith.
Her worst dad, Lee Smith.
Mark Beck.
Matthew Milton.
James Milton.
Rachel Milton.
Jenna Milton.
Max Milton.
And I'm John Milton. And let me tell you real just briefly why they're up here and just standing there and being such a good example. You know, to join at Christ Community Church, we go through a little different process than what a lot of churches do. We go through a class. So these folks have endured, it was just under 3 hours this time. We've tried to narrow it down to like 2 hours. At one point, it was up to 4 hours plus, but we've narrowed it down. Just under 3 hours they had to endure with me as I shared with them about Christ Community, dream, vision, statements, all these things, and we share with them. And then at the end of that class, we offer an opportunity to join. And so this isn't a time where we vote them in, because we don't vote members in. We let the head, that's not me, that's him, to bring people. And we teach them, because it says teaching them to observe all things. So we tell them what our church is about. We invite them to come in if they feel so led. And so this isn't a time where we need to vote. It's just a time where we celebrate and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. All right. So on three, let's give a big thank you, Lord. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Now you can come hug these folks. Well, they're going to sit. You can go back. Don't let them leave without being hugged up. Especially Miss Arsener. Just, you know, hug her up. All right, y'all can go. You can go somewhere more comfortable than right up here. The hugging has begun. Let me say, as by way of announcement, my wife, Sarah, is going to stand up and there she is. I feel like Pat Sajak, like, Anna, would you turn that? Anyway, turn them letters. And so anyway, what Sarah has is a clipboard, and on that clipboard is the breakdown of the money we need for going to Centrifuge. We're taking about 20 people, just under 20 people, to Centrifuge camp. Centrifuge isn't just a fun, happy, like, go-lucky camp. There's teaching. There's everything's organized from morning to night. I'm going to be a chaperone, which I thought at first meant I'm just driving these kids down there, and then I'm going to hang out at Starbucks for the rest of the time. And I found out that I, too, am going to be involved in these things. I have no idea. But if you would like, if God put on you and you want to contribute something to that, Sarah has a list on the clipboard to say, you know, hey, we need, you know, so many gifts of this size, that size, and this size. If you're interested in that, go see Sarah. She's going to be out there. If you came to the daddy-daughter dance and you got a you got a CD with pictures and you paid for it, it's out there, okay? If you didn't get one and you didn't pay for it, or if you paid for it or you didn't pay for it, and you didn't, anyways, you know what I'm saying. If you want to pay for one, go ahead. They got some out there. I can't think of anything else. Church directory. You didn't say that before. You threw that in on me. Church directory out there. We're having a church directory. There's a sign-up sheet. You can't get your picture taken just like, well, I'll come in one day when I want. You got to come in when the photographer's there and there's a schedule. Sign up. Come in. Get your picture taken. There's a deal. You'll get some kind of 8x10, 10x12, 8x10. That keeps getting bigger. You'll get a 2x4. And take that 2x4 and put it on your wall. Say, that 2x4 was given to me by a photographer. Anyway... I think that's all that I have. Mr. Johnny, you told them that the men are meeting here at 3:30 for skeet shooting. Okay, if you're going to go shoot things later on, meet here. I think that's it. Hey, thank y'all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you.
Father God, as we go, would you help us? Help us to go in the grace of the Lord with a song in our heart, with a witness on our lips. Father, help us to do what you've called us to do before you come. But we look forward to you coming. And Father, I trust you. And I thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break!